You know, I tell you what, a church, if you measure the wealth of this church with our kids, we are in the top level of all of the planet, wouldn't you say? It was so good to see all of them this morning. What a beautiful thing. And it's good to see you this morning. I would like to begin this part of our program by showing you a video. We had the privilege, in fact, before I do that, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and then we'll go to the video. Just want to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture where Jesus is reaching out and touching the human family in a very special way. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. I'd like to invite you to look at verse 35. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Please read along in whatever version you have with you. If you don't have a Bible with you, in the pew in front of you, there is a Bible that you can join in this morning. Verse 35, "And Jesus went all about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary." Now, in my Bible, right next to weary, there's a little note that tells me to go down and look at the bottom. And I go down and look at the bottom and it says, it means harassed. "Because they were harassed and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And I need to have the people on the lights to make sure we get these front lights down, if you do that for me. We're going to be looking at a videotape that was made that highlights the trip that Karen and I were a part of with the ASI organization in the Philippines, the ASI leadership. And this morning, my friend Harold Lance and his wife Joan, you picked the right day to come. Harold is sitting back here. Harold is a very good friend from ASI. You will see him on the video as well as you will see me. We had the privilege of all being a part of an incredible opportunity to share the love of Jesus with a large group of people in the Philippines. And the whole idea behind this is that lay people like me and like you can actually become preachers of the gospel. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You can actually share the love of Jesus where you are. And as you think of all the people that Jesus was looking at that were harassed, now that gives a little bit of a suggestion that perhaps the devil was working on people. Now, I want to ask you, this past week, have any of you felt the devil working on you? Amen. We've had opportunity to visit with some of our neighbors in our own community, right close by us. And with all the events that are happening in our world, the terrorist threats, the capture of terrorists, the things that have happened this last week, there is a sense of what's going on. Everybody's reaching out for answers, and we have the privilege of being able to share answers from God's Word. And this program, what I'm going to do is, after you watch this video, I'm going to come back and I'm going to demonstrate this tool that we have developed that's simply called our New Beginnings DVD. And I'm going to actually I'm going to preach a little bit. In fact, I got to tell you, last night I came over to set the equipment up. Pastor Neary and the youth group were meeting over in our fellowship hall. So it was all quiet in here. Nobody was here at all. And I was testing. And of course, I preached this entire series in the Philippines. And once I started testing, I just kind of got in the groove. And I want you to know, I preached the whole sermon last night here with nobody here. It just felt good. But I want to tell you that right now, in the upper Midwest, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan, also in the Northwest, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Alaska, all of those played last night on September the 13th, nothing better than on Friday the 13th, to start an evangelistic meeting. Almost 800 meetings began last night with lay people and pastors sharing the good news, and they preached last night the exact sermon that I'm going to be sharing portions of with you today. So at this time, I'd like to have our videotape roll, if we can, and make sure that our lights are down so that all of you can see this. Are we rewinding that? Is it ready to go? Okay.
ASI, the Organization of Adventist Layman Services and Industries, has a long tradition of encouraging people to share the gospel with the world. Now, ASI is taking on one of its biggest challenges to date with the DVD project. Equipping laymen and women with the resources to conduct their own evangelistic campaign, ASI sees this as an opportunity for everyone to share the love of Christ.
Well, you know, it all just started when I was in Portland and I visited with Dwayne McKee, and Todd had just got back from a crusade where they culturized the graphics. And I mean, it was phenomenal to see the response of people when they see graphics that are culturized in their ethnic group and their origin. Bob Paulson and my father did a crusade in India, and I will tell you that the results were phenomenal. I couldn't believe how well the Lord blessed by lay people stepping out and doing something that they've never done before. They baptized over 3,000 souls. But the thing was is that Bob Paulson spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours trying to develop his crusade in the program. And we thought, well, why couldn't we design a package that any lay person could preach? And they could do a whole evangelistic crusade with all our doctrine if they just had the step out in faith and do what needed to be done. And so that kind of got the ball rolling on this DVD project.
But first, this concept needed to be tested. And who better to do the testing than those who are responsible for encouraging the laymen within the ASI organization, the ASI leadership. So in January of 2001, 75 officers, members, and associates of ASI headed to the Philippines with the mission of reaching the people of Mindanao.
Excited. We've just come to Manila and we're about to take off for Butuan City. Our evangelistic campaign is going to begin Friday night. We've arrived safely. We've had to deal with a few challenges with our equipment and our luggage, but praise the Lord, everything is coming together. We're just so excited. We've got the kids handling the children's programs. They're working right now, cutting out things for the children's programs. Everybody's pulling together, and this is going to really be a lot of fun to see how God uses all of this. Can't wait to tell you how the story ends.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Winnipeg Airlines. This is Airplane 477.
Armed with the excitement of the DVD equipment and the burning desire to be used by God, the team landed at the humble airstrip in Butuan, where they were greeted with smiles of joy from local church groups. The ASI team conducted meetings in the following locations: Butuan City, Ampayong, Buena Vista, Kababuran, Carmen, Abanga, Nasipit, Nima, or the Northeastern Mindanao Academy, Sibagat, and Subod.
Words are not enough to say our thanks to the members of the ASI of bringing their members, the young people, to come to our mission field to hold the evangelistic crusades.
In addition to Bible workers laying the groundwork for the meetings, a health expo in Butuan City allowed the community to get acquainted with a group from North America.
The health expo is to serve the purpose of bringing people into the evangelistic meetings, one purpose. Our second purpose, and I think this is a very large one from my perspective as a health educator, is to train the local people to be able to do this type of work after we're gone. I invited the local conference to work with us and sponsor a temperance parade. We had five marching bands, little parade bands, a 5-0marching bands and these little tiny children playing their drums and getting us kind of hyped up for the parade. And on one of the floats was a great big statue. It was effigy against drugs. And the policemen poured gasoline on it and they set the thing on fire. And that was to, as a symbol, to get rid of drugs, to get rid of tobacco, to get rid of these things out of their society.
When we said, let's put that DVD project together, we wanted to lead by example. And that was Denzel's real idea as we talked about it as a group. Hey, we're saying that any layperson can use this DVD, this little disc that has these beautiful pictures, and conduct an evangelistic crusade either in their home or in a hall or in a church someplace. We're going to say that let's lead by example. If we can do it, anybody should be able to do it.
I preach as a lay preacher. I give Bible studies, but I've never done a crusade. So, you know, I got the butterflies in the stomach wondering, you know, all these people going to be here tonight. So you pray for me.
We had somewhere a little over 2,000 people out for the first night. We showed them the image of Daniel 2 on the screen and showed the head of gold and the arms and breastplate of silver and watching their faces intently as they're soaking that up. And when we get to that climax where we show Jesus coming in the clouds and ask them to raise their hands and say, how many of you want to be ready to meet Christ when he comes, and see the whole group, their hands lifted, that was a real thrill.
I think the DVD project has a wonderful impact on being able to deliver the messages. When I'm delivering the messages each evening, you can see that people are mesmerized and they're captivated by the images on the screen. So it actually gives life to the message and gives good visual impact.
When my good friend Harold Lance called me and asked me if I would consider coming to the Philippines and partner with him in working at one of the sites, I must tell you that I was very reluctant, and I made a lot of excuses. I had lots of things going. My schedule was full. After a lot of debate and several weeks, I decided to join the team here, and I must tell you that it's been a real blessing for me.
Even though the ASI officers are well experienced in business and running board meetings and things like that, to run an evangelistic campaign is something very new and very special and really kind of scary. But we found out that it can be done, and we have been a tremendous mutual encouragement to each other.
Well, Dwight and I picked a place called Habunga, which is up in the mountains area. It's in a rural part of the Philippines. It takes us an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and 30 minutes to go each way. But, you know, we start in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we finish. We usually go to bed between 11:30 and 12 o'clock at night. So, I mean, we're really tired. But I'll tell you what, seeing the faces on these people and seeing the realization that they get to see and hear about Christ for the first time makes it all worthwhile. And it's just so exciting to be a privilege to be part of it.
One of the interesting stories out of our site has been an indigenous tribe that we've gotten acquainted with. One of the chieftains has come to our meetings. He is an Adventist now, and he was telling me on one of the nights that he had over 200 people ready for baptism.
Okay, we're here today to meet a tribal village area that has an indigenous group, and we have Bible missionaries that have gone into that work, Bible workers have gone in, and they have worked with these people, and they now have about over 200 souls that are ready to be baptized. And we're going in to see the site. They want help building a church, and we're going to help them build the church.
How many people do you have preparing for baptism?
More or less, I have initial commitment by the help of the Almighty. I think more or less 300.
And they asked us if we would come over and speak to their group. So one of the afternoons we stopped by their meeting hall, and there must have been 200 or 300 people gathered there. And we were able to share with them some of the health things that we have going on with our meetings. Dr. Marianne McNeilis was able to share with them some of the natural remedies that she works with in the various places that she goes.
Both of the Academy students that are presenting at the Northeastern Mindanao Academy are juniors themselves. Angela Valente is from Chicago. Jonathan Chai is from Georgia. And this is his first time to preach evangelistic sermons. He's never done appeals before.
We have been going 5 nights, and now 2 nights ago we made our first appeal. We had 153 sign the decision cards, and meeting with our Bible workers. Last night, they told us that we have 52 ready for baptism already.
I never dreamed I'd ever be involved in something like this in my life. And it's been an exhilarating experience. I feel God's Spirit working on me in a way that I've never had before. And when I get up to speak, I can feel the power that comes through working for Jesus.
We're about 30 kilometers outside Butuan City, and a fishing village largely. Folks go out to sea with their canoes. They fish all night, come back in the morning, kind of like Bible times. But what's excited us the most is people are coming out to hear God's Word preached. And we're thankful for the opportunity to let the love of Jesus flow through our team, flow through our Bible workers, to bring their friends here to really gain a blessing from the program.
One nice aspect of this program is that we have many of our youth from academies and our youth from ASI plugged in with us into these programs.
It's truly amazing to get to see God working through these people and see them hearing about Him for the first time. They're so eager to learn.
When I look at the children, I see the hope in their faces, and I think that if we just take interest in them, it will really help them to grow and to become great workers for Him right here in the Philippines.
The people here in the Philippines just respond so warmly to our youth. And as they go into their homes, and these folks live simple out here in these villages. I mean, folks, it's bare bones. You know, there's no front doors. The houses are about a foot and a half off the ground, and the pigs and the chickens sleep underneath. And very, very humble.
I would just like to encourage anyone who wants to be a part of this to do so. Christ will cover up your weaknesses with His righteousness. He'll provide the strength where you fail. It's a really neat project. The presentations are all there. All you have to do is give them, be in connection with God, and He'll supply what you lack.
I believe this is the right time. The Philippines are ready. Romania is ready. India is ready. The whole world, your hometown, is ready. And I really believe God will use this DVD project, the technology that we have today, right now, to hasten the Lord's return.
The conclusion of the trip was highlighted by a mass baptism in the Buena Vista Bay. Thrilled by the turnout, the ASI leaders and team members had finally seen the pinnacle of all their hard work. They also saw well over 3,000 baptisms.
Today I have witnessed the second largest baptism in this union for the last 25 years when I was union president. To see this much people join the church family just gives any pastor an inner satisfaction that is beyond words to express. When you think that you have prepared yourself for this ministry, and you work so hard, and you see a team of lay workers and pastors working with you in your union leadership, you just cannot find sufficient words to thank and praise the Lord for His goodness that brought these new members to join the church family in one single day.
Why are you happy?
I read the Jesus in my heart, and I feel
happy because you have Jesus in your
heart.
Yes.
This is the largest baptism that I've witnessed in my life here in the Philippines or anywhere in the world. And so this was new. It was challenging, but I'm sure that the ASI people are going to go back to North America inspired and ready to challenge their fellow lay people in North America, business people, to get involved themselves.
Each one has reached one.
Jesus is.
In the amount of time that has gone by since we tested this in the Philippines, we have refined the process. And in fact, as we speak right now, there are 14 languages and culturalizations that have already taken place of this material so that it can be done in all continents and all places around the world. And that's heading towards the 40 language number. Now, we're going to need to have the front lights back down because I'm going to be going to DVD in just a minute. If we can have the back lights on, David, I don't know if you can pull that off, but I just want to show you this book. This actually has all of the sermons, 26 of them, to present the evangelistic message of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, all here. So I have all the notes, as well as I have a little disc that I'm going to pull out of here. Looks just like this. This has all of the graphics on it for all 26 presentations. Now, this is the North American Division version. This is the one that's made to have happen here in North America. We have one of these for the Philippines, and one of the things that was fascinating, we had, have you seen that little picture, maybe the Bible Storybook or someplace else, where there is an angel that is standing beside an open grave of a little child on resurrection morning, and they're taking that little child and putting it into the arms of the mother. Have any of you ever seen that picture? Well, that is, the original art was done with Caucasian people in that particular piece of art, because most of the art that has been developed within the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the last 150 years has been here in North America. But there is a desire, like when we were in the Philippines, we had a picture on the screen that showed a Filipino angel with Filipino parents and a Filipino baby being given. We have one for Africa with a black angel with black parents being given a black baby. Same thing in China, same thing in India. They're all culturalized so that everybody will feel that, hey, they are a part of God's family. Now, what I'd like to do is I'm going to actually take this and put it in the DVD player. Many times when you see technology, you say, oh, I don't have a computer, I don't have the thing that will be necessary to make this work. I actually have a DVD player up here that you can buy now at Good Guys or at Costco. I've seen them as cheap as $69.95. This little remote control is the same one that you would use to play a DVD in your home. It's not a piece of expensive equipment. It has a little cable that has been plugged into this projector right here. And I'm going to actually demonstrate for you how one of these sermons takes place, how they go. I'm going to go for just a few minutes in the out. You got it in the out one for me? Okay. Now let's, you can pull that over just a little closer to you. Just need to make it sure that my remote will get to it. Okay. Now I'm going to take out the same sermon that was preached in almost 800 locations last night. This is the opening sermon, and you can't see this very well, but if I hold this up, maybe you can see on this side there's some dark, what looks like dark, and then text. One of the big challenges for me as a layperson is to put together the actual presentation. What will you say if you're going to be talking about how to know the future? What would you say? We have had a team of people that have gone through and written a sermon, and the actual script for that sermon is here. Now, if I show you my little packet that I had in the Philippines, it's right here. On that early one, you'll see, if you come up and look at it this afternoon, there's red lines through here, there's notes all the way through it. I made this my own, which is the way that this is designed, so that any individual, if you decide you want to present this, if you can read, you can do it. But if you want to put a little bit more into it and make it your own, you can put some of your own notes and things in there. And you can actually be a preacher, because that's one of the things that we look at in our world today. Did you know that in North America, we have approximately 4,500 Seventh-day Adventist churches and about 5,000 pastors? Do you have any idea what a big job we have to try to reach North America alone with the good news of Jesus Christ? If the lay people that make up almost 1 million people, Seventh-day Adventists in North America, join in together with the pastors that number about 5,000, what a difference that we could make. We have women, we have young men, we have more mature men, we have kids in academy
that are preaching these sermons right now. And one of the things, as we get to the end of where I'm not seeing Pastor Neri right now, there he is. Yeah, he's there. We're going to have a plan we want to talk about for our church with this. But I want to begin by just demonstrating to you how one of these sermons come together. And I'm going to be asking for volunteers in just a few minutes. I'm going to go for 4 or 5 minutes to give you a little flavor. And then I want you, someone out there courageous, I'm going to choose several, to come up and take 1 or 2 minutes of this just to get the feel of it yourself. Now, if you notice, when the DVD first comes up, it gives me the first 7 presentations. It's down below, I can go clear up to 26. They're all on this single disc. By simply pointing this at the DVD player over here, I can actually move this with this simple little remote. And the topic that was presented in 800 places last night that I'm going to start with is how to know the future. And I want to make sure that I get this back, because I did this in the first service, and I want to make sure I'm back in the right order. Okay. How to know the future. A dream from the past speaks to the present. The title of this series is called New Beginnings by His Word. And you'll notice that in the DVD graphics, we have still pictures, and we also have movies that come up that show, so that this is very current technology, so that it can actually be very captivating, especially when it is in the local dialect. Now, if I get the lights down, do we have the lights all down? Okay. Researchers say that all of us dream, usually several times each night. Sometimes those dreams are good, and sometimes they're not so good. Perhaps you've awakened in the middle of the night, and you've been right in the middle of a wonderful dream, and you were disappointed that you had to go back to sleep, and you couldn't. You wanted to get back to sleep so that you could finish it. Or maybe you've awakened in a cold sweat, breathing hard, and are so relieved to know that that was only a bad dream and not reality. Dreams can be something that are very unique in our experience. Well, President Abraham Lincoln once had a dream that he remembered and he wished that he had not. He shared it with his close friend, Ward Hill Lehman, who wrote it down in Lincoln's own words. About 10 days ago, the president recalled, I retired very late and soon I began to dream. There seemed to be a death-like stillness about me. Then I heard subdued sobs as if a number of people were weeping. I thought as I left my bed and wandered downstairs, and there the silence was broken by pitiful sobbing. But the mourners were invisible. I went from room to room, no living person in sight, but the same mournful sounds of distress were greeting my ears. I was puzzled and alarmed. I kept on until I arrived in the East Room of the White House, where I met a sickening surprise. Before me was a platform for a coffin of someone of state. Around it were soldiers acting as guards, and there was a throng of people gazing mournfully on the corpse whose face was covered. Who is dead in the White House? I demanded. The president was the answer. He was killed by an assassin. A few days later, on April 14, 1865, Abraham Lincoln, our beloved president, was killed by John Wilkes Booth. His body was taken to lie in state in the East Room of the White House. A very remarkable man and a very remarkable dream. You see, some dreams do come true. Perhaps the most remarkable dream ever recorded in all of history occurred one night about 2,600 years ago. The ancient kingdom of Babylon was the setting for this dream, and it's well documented. It was written and told by the man who experienced it. The biblical book of Daniel, chapter 2, tells us the story. Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, had a dream. However, he couldn't remember what he had dreamed, and he knew it was very important, and indeed it was very important, because it gave a future view of history from his time clear down to the very end of this world's history. Babylon, the first empire, was the richest, the greatest, the most influential of all the empires in the then-known civilized world, and it had a powerful king. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. The leader of men that Nebuchadnezzar was had built this kingdom into a mighty force on the face of this earth, and it stood as the queen of all the nations of that time. In the second year of his reign, King Nebuchadnezzar went to bed wondering in his mind how long his kingdom would endure. Have you ever wondered that kind of a question? How long will my job last? How long will I live? What will happen next year? He, like other rulers, other kings, wanted to know about the future. And that night, God looked down from heaven on this king. And he chose to entrust this benevolent dictator with a look into the future. When the king woke up from his fitful sleep, he was very troubled. He had experienced a dream and he knew it was very important. And you see, in the Babylonian world, dreams were incredibly important. And he wanted to know the dream and its interpretation. And of course, he had astrologers, magicians, enchanters, and sorcerers. Surely they would tell him what it was all about. Despite the early hour, they were summoned to court. Now I'm going to stop right here for a moment. You get the flavor, how it's all been prepared. I can embellish it if I wish to. If you were preaching it, you could do the same. But it's all laid out with the graphics, and they work very beautifully. Now I'm going to ask for some volunteers. I'd like to have someone that would be willing to come up here. And if you can read, you can preach a section. Okay, yes, ma'am, you come right on up here. I want to tell you that all kinds of people are learning that they can use this and actually do this kind of work. And, okay, I need to get you a microphone. Are we on with this? Hello, test. There we are. Now tell the church family your name.
Maisha Jackson.
Okay. I need to have you turn around. And what I'm going to have you do is I want you to take this section right here, and you preach that part of this sermon. I'm going to move the pictures for you. So you can just look out here, and you'll know what's on the screen by looking right here. Okay. And you just take it away. Okay?
Mm-hmm. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them...
No, it's on the screen.
Oh, okay. I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. These men were like many who pretend to know and foretell the future. They could make a guess at interpreting dreams, but they didn't really know the dream. They stalled for a time. Finally, they said, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. But their self-confidence soon vanished as the proud monarch, tired of their stalling, said, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts."
Okay, did you notice how well she was able to do that?
Amen.
Just go right through this. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Thank you very much. I need another volunteer to take the next section of this sermon. Okay, come up, Toby. Got my hands full, so I'm going to hand you this microphone first. There you go. Okay, let me get this in order. Now, here's what I want you to do, Toby. Right here, this section, you're going to start right at this spot, and you're going to go all the way down to the bottom on that side, okay?
Ready?
No, you can go all the way right to there.
All right. My name is Toby Arrowsmith.
Okay, and I want you to know Toby is one in our young adult group. He is a Marine.
That's correct.
He became a Seventh-day Adventist because of a Bible study by a gunnery sergeant. All right. Semper Fi. A gunnery sergeant on a float a couple years ago now?
It was a year ago. I was on a Westpac deployment. We left San Diego and toured the area, went to the Middle East and did some training. And through that, I was studying with an elder, Antonio Palms, who's a gunnery sergeant. And he led me to baptism. I was baptized a year ago on the 29th of this month.
And we're glad Toby's here. Would you say amen? Now, Toby is going to preach a section of this sermon. So, Toby, you go for it, bud.
Again, they tried to tell the king, to tell him the dream. The king knew by this time that they were frauds. He threatened them again, and finally they confessed. "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things, any magician, astrologer, or charlatan. There is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." The Bible says the king was furious. and commanded his soldiers to execute all of the wise men. Unfortunately, Daniel and the three Hebrew young men with him were classed among the wise men, though at that time Daniel and his three friends were not with the wise men. When the soldiers came to get Daniel for the execution, he was shocked. But he asked for a time that he might consult with the God, whose dwelling was not with men, and asked for wisdom to make the dream known to the king. The king granted Daniel the time to talk to his God, the God of creation. What a responsibility rested upon Daniel's shoulders. Thank you, Dan. Not only was his life and the lives of his three friends at stake, but the lives of all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel returned to his house and explained the situation. They all pled for mercy from the God of heaven to reveal this mystery, so that they might not be executed with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. What a prayer meeting that must have been for young Hebrews praying that God would reveal the dream of the heathen king and before the fateful deadline. The Bible says the God of Daniel that very night revealed the secret dream to him in a night vision. The God of heaven did not fail to hear and honor those prayers. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven and said, I thank you and I praise you, O God of my fathers. You gave me wisdom and insight and might. And now, made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the king's demand. What excitement there must have been in the hearts of Daniel and the three Hebrew friends. Daniel ran to the chief executioner, Arioch, and said, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation.
Toby, excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
You think he can be a preacher? I'd like to invite one more person to come up and preach a section of this sermon. Manny, come on up here. Okay. There's your microphone. And there is your section. You'll start right at the top, and you'll go all the way back down to the bottom of that page, okay?
I thought this was just for young people, but I checked with Dan before. It's okay for an old man.
Isn't this a young man? Isn't this a young man? Okay.
As Daniel came into the presence of the king, Nebuchadnezzar asked him if he was able to make known what the king had dreamed. Along with interpretation, let's take a look at how Daniel replied to the king. That's in Daniel 2:27-28. The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the
soothsayers,
whatever, cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, who will be in the later days. That's the verses 27-28. Notice that Daniel did not take the credit for this knowledge. He knew that only God could reveal the future. No doubt he had studied Isaiah 46:9-10. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done. This wisdom came from God, who had taken this occasion to outline the history of the world to over 2,600 years through the dream he gave to King Nebuchadnezzar. First, Daniel gives the background this dream that the king had dreamed. Daniel 2:29. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what came to pass after death. This. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. Daniel 2:29. Next, Daniel tells a dream. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. Verse 31. And verse 9. Can you almost hear the king saying excitedly, yes, yes, that is it. an awesome image touring above everything. Daniel describes the dream so clearly to the king, has no doubt that it was the dream he had. Then Daniel continued. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Dan explained that anybody that can read can do it, even if you don't read.
Thank you, Manny. Thank you. I want you to notice that we had a lady come up and preach a section of this. And I want you to know all of them had never seen this. I handed this to them and they went through it cold. Now, what would have happened if they had had an hour to prepare and to really refine what they were doing? You know, we've had people that actually will go through and we've suggested a dialogue. You know, for a layperson, you can go through and use that dialogue as the base for a preacher. And I tell you, one of the things where these are being used all around the world is the preachers are getting these and they're developing their own sermons around them. But it's a tool that never has existed before as a vehicle to empower ordinary lay people to be able to say, you know, I could bring a group of people to my house and put this on my television set and I could do an evangelistic meeting with four people. Or I could go into a church and I could have 200 or 300 people there and I can preach and have this up on a screen and I can do this. If there's anything I want to leave with you today is that you can do this. We have, as an organization within ASI, we have done everything we know how to make it as easy as possible for anyone to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ and His soon return. Now, this afternoon, we're going to come back after the potluck. For any of you who would like to, and I know that there's some others of you who are sitting out there and say, you know, I should have raised my hand. I could have done that. I can pick out, in fact, I have done that before. I have actually picked people out of a crowd live, and it works. People can do it. Karen, when we were in the Philippines, she did the health lectures, and I want to tell you that we now have the same DVD, the same package for the health lectures that she will be showcasing in our cooking school coming up next month. We have big banners that we have developed which will be shown in the cooking school, and perhaps even, you know, I know the big health fair that we're having coming up is a major part of evangelistic outreach. But the idea behind this is, and Pastor Neri, maybe you want to come up and talk about what your dream is for this, and I'll let you do that part. But I want you to know that I'm excited about what God can do here in Fallbrook with this tool that we have made available to the rest of the world. We've had the opportunity of working on this and bringing it. Just last night, almost 800 churches have used this as they invited thousands and thousands of people to come to churches and auditoriums around portions of this country to be able to preach. And many of them are lay people, just like yourselves, that are actually doing the speaking at these meetings. Now, Inter-American Division, in Spanish, in the Spanish language, with all of the graphics tuned to Spanish people, with all the texts and graphics in the Spanish language, they're planning to do 10,000 of these throughout all of Inter and South America. Portuguese, Chinese, all these different 14 languages have already been completed, and lay people and pastors are out using this as a way to tell the story. Now, this afternoon, we'll have a chance to go into more of this, and Pastor, maybe you want to come right now and talk about what our vision is, and then I will wrap it, or did you want to wait till I finish this? Come, let me, here's the microphone. I want you to share what we're talking about and what our dream is for right here in Fallbrook.
You know, I'm into this. Every time he shows that video, I cry. Literally, because those are people that are hearing the gospel that didn't hear it before or might not have heard it, except for lay people who did that. And I see we can do that here. And so we're going to use the rest of this month, we're going to use the month of October and November to come on Wednesday nights right here and practice with ourselves. And then in January, February, and March, we're going to put it on. Not me, and I'm going to try to hold Dan back too, but that's going to be hard. But you, and we're going to invite the community to come, and we're going to come here, and you're going to do it. And then, a year from now, we're going to go somewhere and put on this overseas. So I want you to stay this afternoon. I know some of you have great plans. If you can make it here, come. Stay by after the potluck and let us start pursuing this. And then on Wednesday nights, join us. Now, a lady in first service came up to me, brand new baptized lady in our church, and she said, "Pastor, I can do that, but I can't come on Wednesday nights." She said, "I go to a class on Wednesday nights for my work." So I'm now trying to figure out another night of the week I can do this with Robin. So if anybody else has the same problem, please let me know, because we want to qualify you or to help equip you. And Sarah, I couldn't believe you didn't get up here and do this. I'm telling you, kids, come up here and do this. Adults respond.
Shall I do one more section and let Sarah come up and do it?
Let Sarah do it. Okay. Come here, Sarah.
Sarah, come here. I want to hear you preach a section. Can you do that?
This is my sweet Sarah. You can get mad at me later, Sarah, okay? And I'm done, by the way.
I can't get mad at you.
That's right. Not on Sabbath. There you go.
Okay, Sarah. I'm going to hand this to you.
Okay.
And all you need to do is go down through this and this, and I'm going to be moving the pictures on the screen. You don't have to look at the screen. You can look at the people and hold the mic close to your mouth and just read it. Can you do that?
I can.
Okay.
Okay. Good morning.
Hold the mic close to your mouth, Sarah.
Okay. Amazed, Nebuchadnezzar listens as Daniel describes the elements making up the image exactly as he had seen it in the dream. The head was bright, shining gold. The chest with the arms was of less lustrous silver. The belly and thighs were bronze or brass. The legs were iron, and the feet were a mixture of clay and iron. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. Next, the king must have been startled to see a stone hurtling out of nowhere and coming with great speed, striking the image at its feet, crushing them, and then violently shattering and pounding the whole image into dust so fine the wind removed it without a trace. And the stone that struck the great image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel 2:32-35. "Yes, Daniel," the king must have said, "a rock was cut out and without hands and smashed the image and became a mountain that filled the earth." The whole dream was exactly as the king had dreamt it. Imagine how amazed Nebuchadnezzar must have been to be told by this noble man every detail of the dream the way he had seen it himself. One thing must have been absolutely certain to the king: no man could have revealed this to Daniel. No man can tell what someone else dreamed. It could only have come from one divine source. The king may have wondered now what the dream had to do with him. We might have had the same thought. Nebuchadnezzar's dream, however, predicts the rise and fall of key nations of the earth. The kingdoms represented in his dream have in some way or other influenced every nation of the world, especially in modern times. In just a few words, God sketched the main course of history from Babylon's time, 600 years before Christ, to the climax of Earth's history. Finally, Daniel gets to the heart of the dream. Looking straight at the king, Daniel says, "You are this head of gold. Babylon was the head in nature of pure gold." Daniel 2:38.
You think this lady can be a preacher? Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now, this afternoon, I want all of you to come back as many as of you that can, come back. We're going to dig into this more. And if you did not get a chance to try it yourself this morning, you will have that opportunity this afternoon as we plan. Now, one of the things that I think I heard Pastor Neary saying is that every Wednesday night, one of these presentations is going to be given, and a different one of our members is going to be presenting it. What an excellent thought. I want you to turn in closing today to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 13 of Romans chapter 10. The time is coming in this world. We are hurtling right towards a collision with destiny as a world. And as that is happening, as that is going forward, God has millions and millions of people in this world that He wants to hear the message and give them an opportunity to choose Him. The time is coming, the Apostle Paul says, verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of great joy. Every single one of us that are privileged to have the knowledge of the oracles of God have the opportunity to share that with some other human being. We've just created a system of tools that will allow many, many more people to share with confidence and with certainty this good news. I look forward to seeing this program actually happen in our own church with the testing process and the refining during the next several months, then actually having a evangelistic series that we invite the community to that are presented by our members during the first part of next year, and then having a mission trip where we go somewhere in the world and preach the same message to an entirely new group of people. What do you think about that plan? Do you like that? Can you say amen? I'd like to invite you just now to bow your heads with me where you are as we ask God to bless us today. Father in heaven, show us how, Lord, that we can reach out and touch people around us. Help us to see people with your eyes. How that you love every single one of us and you love all of those out there that we've never known and some that we can't even stand. But Lord, you love them. Help us to know how to reach out and touch them with your love. And Lord, this church in Fallbrook, a beacon on a hill, as we're talking about how to get each one of us involved in sharing your love through these messages, Lord, give us a vision, show us how, and bless our efforts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.